have your word. We know that people avoid it and misuse it. But Lord, we do pray as we study it today that it might be a blessing to our heart and we might get the correct understanding, open our hearts and our minds, and then we pray to be with Jim as he brings the message here and the teaching. This we ask in thy name. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank you so much for your prayers the other day. My sickness didn't last but hours. And Marilyn's didn't last but hours either. Mm. But it sure was violent, wasn't it? Boy. Anyway, James 5 and verse 15. We've only got 5 verses left. And I don't know how far we're going to get tonight. 5 and verse 15. 5 and verse 15. Hi.
Hi.
Let's see if you can read this. Next one.
Hi.
Hey. Come on. UK.
UK.
Taste.
Taste.
Histios. Soze.
Soze.
Tone.
Tone.
Kamantone. Kamanta, that is.
Kamanta.
Kai.
Egere.
Egere.
Auton.
Auton.
Ho.
Kyrios.
Kyrios.
Con.
Con.
Amartios.
Hey.
Pepoi ekos.
Pepoi ekos.
Afi theisetai.
Afi theisetai.
And then the last one?
Auton.
Auton. You're doing real good.
Well, I'm still in the dark.
You're doing real good. Well, it happens a little at a time. One day you will open it up and you'll say, wow. David, now you've been in the class how long?
2 years.
2 years. All right. You can read it. Mm-hmm. I have seen you read it. There are hard, difficult words that
I
you
can
have.
Sound, I can pretty much sound them out.
Yeah.
I haven't got it figured out.
And you've been here how?
Oh, less than a year.
Less than a year. So see there now. If you spend 2 years, brother, you're going to do it too.
Yeah.
You'll have it too.
But I don't know how to how these words pronounce.
All right.
Irma's doing real well.
Yeah. All right. Marilyn, could you give them a Book of James thing over there?
I don't think we have any.
Yeah, we do. We do. James 5 and verse 15. Now, I'm going to give you the cross references, okay? The cross references.
Better do this one, man.
15. What is this? Oh, is that the one you were telling me about?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Now, these are cross references. James 1 and 6 and 5 and 20. 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. And 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. John 6:39. 2 Corinthians 4:14. John 5:14. 1 John 5:17. 1 Corinthians. I already did that one.
Say it again. 1 Corinthians what?
1 Corinthians 11:30. Actually, you can go 26 through 34. 1 John 5:17. And 1 Corinthians 5 and 1 through 5. Psalm 38, 3 and 18. And 1 Timothy 6 and 10. Now, we're going to go back over these, but I'm just going to give these to you. You can look these up as we go, okay? These are all cross references to this verse. This verse has got a lot of stuff in there that maybe you have never seen before.
Okay.
It's got some stuff in here that is really... What do you think about this verse, Brother David? And the prayer of the faith, it shall save the one being sick. And he shall raise him up, or raise up him, the Lord, and if sins he may, having done, it shall be forgiven him. Let's go back and look at it now. Let's think about this as we translate this verse. There's a lot in this verse. And the prayer. The UK, the prayer. What does the word UK mean? You remember? UK. What does it mean? That means to bend the knee toward, doesn't it? All right? You to bend your knee toward God.
That's this word translated,
yeah, UK.
Prayer?
Yeah, UK.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's prayer.
Prayer. That means to bend the knee toward. Now, how many ways can you pray?
All sorts of many ways.
Many ways. You ever prayed going down the road?
Mm-hmm.
Do you close your eyes while you pray going down the road?
No way.
A little bit dangerous. So you're going down the road with your eyes open praying, aren't you?
Yeah.
Have you ever prayed looking up into heaven?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever prayed on your face?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On your knees? Laying down on the bed.
If I can get down there.
One old fellow fell in the well and he prayed upside down.
Yeah. Some of them wells didn't have much room to move around, did it? The prayer of the faithful. Look at that word, pistios. All right. Of the faithful. It shall save. Third person singular, fruit is indicative, active, sozo. All right. The one being sick. This word here, kama nonta. This is a hard word. Some of you may have been acquainted with this word before. Now, Brother Wally, you don't know anything about this, so brothers, just you have to step back now. You have never been weighted down with disease and sickness, or you can't get up, and you're so weighted down with this, 82 years old and just as healthy as a horse.
Healthy?
Never been
I've
sick.
Seen some sick horses.
Yeah, sick horses.
Well,
this means present participle, active. Accusative singular masculine. Being sick. The one being sick. This word being sick here is to be weighted down with sickness. Some people that Jesus ran into when he was in his ministry, and I want you to understand, Jesus didn't heal anybody because he felt sorry for them. Now, he did feel sorry for them, but that wasn't the purpose of healing them, was it? What was the purpose of healing?
To glorify God.
To glorify God and
show His deity.
To show His deity. To confirm who He was.
Yeah.
That's the purpose of it. Now, that was the purpose of miracles. All right? Just to confirm who He was. Now, He healed a lot of people, didn't He?
Yes.
But there was a very sick man that they brought to Him one time, or that He came upon. And He says, your sins are forgiven you.
Mm-hmm.
Go your way. Your sins are forgiven you. Didn't heal him. Your sins are forgiven you. But did He heal him?
Yeah.
Why did He heal him? But that they might know, they, the Pharisees, might know, the Sadducees, might know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins. Arise and walk.
Yeah.
That's the purpose.
Pretty convincing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, that's pretty plain why He did it. Why did He raise the dead?
Same.
Wasn't they better off if they just stayed in paradise?
Yeah.
You know, Jesus' real good friend, there was Mary, there was Martha, and Lazarus. Remember them?
Yeah.
That brother and sisters. All right. And they were, evidently these people had been friends of Jesus all of his life. They had known, they had grown up together, they had known each other for years. And his family kept sending messages to Jesus while he was out preaching. He says, Lazarus is very sick. Lazarus is very sick. Please come and heal him. Lazarus is sick. And Jesus kept putting it off, didn't he? And then they came and said, Lazarus sleeps. He's dead. He said he sleeps. And Jesus cried. What do you think he cried?
Because he lost his friend.
What do you think of crying?
Oh, I think you cried because of the lack of faith in his friends.
Huh?
Maybe unbelief of his friends. Like,
well, there's
right.
also empathy with the two ladies there.
Yeah.
Just
but he cried.
Well, because...
But here is God the Son. Why do you think that he might have been that sorrowful? Now, he loved him. We know that. They had been kind to Jesus. They had shown him love. But what was Jesus going to do with this man?
He's going to raise him.
Going to raise him back up.
He knew he was.
Do you think that Lazarus was in paradise already?
Oh, I think so.
Do you think maybe he cried because he's going to have to drag him out of paradise? Put him back in this ungodly, hellish world? Just think about that one for a while.
I thought about it in that light.
Now, just think about that for a while. The man was he was in paradise. What I mean, we look upon death as a door to freedom. I guarantee you, when you're weighted down with sickness, it's a little hard to get around when you're crippled up.
Yeah, but some people are a little bit fearful to make the transition.
Yeah. But think about it. But you know what? I think sometimes this kind of sickness here, it's a burden. It's a weight. You get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Amen.
You get sick and tired of hurting from morning till night and you can't even sleep. I went to a funeral home over here at Mish Funeral Home. And I called this lady there that has passed on was one of my close friend's daughter. This is a Dud Pointer. And he was a missionary that founded almost every church up and down this valley. That's his daughter. She was with him. And I talked to Merble, her sister. And I was her pastor at one time. And I called her and I told her, Merble, I'm real sorry to hear about your sister. And she said it was a real blessing that she passed on. He said, I prayed that she would go, that the Lord would take her. She said she had complications of diabetes. Her legs were just nothing but bones. The flesh had just fallen off her legs. And she was in horrible pain. That's that word right here. It's ready. It's time to go home. If you know the Lord, it's time to go home. So many times, that sickness and old age sometimes gets you ready.
Yeah.
If you are right with the Lord. It'd be nice if you lived at 85 years old and just God just took you home and you're still up kicking around pretty good. Maybe not too high, but kicking. Take you home without all that disease. Burden, weighted down with sickness. Now, we're supposed to pray for the sick. We've got some sick people up here. Here's Katie Pernick. All right, we've been praying for Katie. Katie's been going through miseries. Boy, I mean, for a long, long time. I think they finally turned it around just a little bit. We got Pam Ellis. How many of you know Pam Ellis? You ought to get to know that girl. That girl is the foundation, a pillar of this church right here. This girl is something else. She's been dying for 10 years that I know about. She's a young woman. She'd been in the hospital for over a month this last time, running fevers every day. She called me on the phone the other day and she said, Brother Jim, I've been praying for you. Praying for me. Up there laying up the hospital with high fever with staph infection in her whole system, and she's praying for me. Her doctors come in, they don't tell her how they're going to fix her or anything anymore. They just said, how's the Lord treating you? How, what do you know? They visit with her about Jesus. That's about it. Wonderful girl. Just absolutely you know her, don't you? You know? She sits down on the front row of the church when she gets to come. Sweetest spirit you've ever seen of any person going through all this suffering, but she's smiling because she is using it for a witnessing tool to all of her nurses, all of her doctors. She's witnessed them. I don't know how many of them have been saved, but she witnesses to them, gets them to come to her church. Sometimes we can use our sicknesses. We need to do that when we get weighted down. Now, I've had cancer. Boy, I went through the ringer on that stuff. They tried to kill me. But I went down there, and when I was going in for the surgery 4 years ago on July the 9th, I think it was July the 9th. Is that when it was? 4 years ago, I went in there. I was a witness to the anesthesiologist, and he didn't shut me up till he did that. When I was going under. All the way in there. When I woke up. Talking to my doctor. I went down there, and my doctor, were you with me, Marilyn, when he sat in here? He said, I've never worried about you. He said, the cancer had already spread. I scraped all of it I could get out of there, and I hope it's not there anymore. But he said, your God's going to take care of you, Professor. He said, he loves you. Well, God loves me. Yes, he does. Even in sickness, Brother Harold.
Is that what it's talking about there in verse 15? The prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick?
Yeah, it'll restore him. It restored me, yeah. Mm-hmm. The loom is hanging over my head, but I don't care. If the Lord wants, you know what the doctor last told me? He said, Brother Jim, or I said, Jim, he says, nothing else we can do for you. You can't have any more radiation. You can't have any more chemotherapy. It'll kill you. So you go home and you be happy and let your God take care of you. There's nothing else we can do. He said, you'll have to go through blood tests now and then just to see where you are and everything else. But he said, there's nothing else we can do. And I have had to settle with that in my mind. There's nothing else we can do. But I know what I'm going to do while I'm here. Marilyn, you got any idea what this is going to be?
You're doing it.
I'm going to do it somehow or another as long as I can do it. Because I love sharing God's Word. That's something. To see people's lives changed. Prayer of faith saves people. We pray for people. We pray for salvation. It saves people. Sozo also means to save their spirit. They're born again. When we pray for people, sometimes their health gets restored. Last week we studied there about in the book of James, in the first few verses, what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give them medicine and then pray that God will have the desired effect of the medicine, aren't we? Is that right? God doesn't have to heal saved people to let them know He's there. We ought to know He's there. Now, if we get healed in the process, thank God. He can do it. But He sure doesn't have to do it to make us believe, because we already believe. In the book of Hebrews, it says, faith, when we come to God, we must believe that He is. That He is there. Prayer, you're bending your knee toward a real God. And our God came down in the person of Jesus Christ to save us. That's why He's here. He came to do that. God didn't have to do that. He could have just swept us out. And made us into a dust pile and started over again, couldn't He? But God sought us so He could save us. And went through all the misery that we're going through in this miserable world. Save the, that's accusative singular masculine indefinite article, the ones being sick, burdened down, weighted down with sickness. And He shall raise up. Egare, that's like the resurrection. He shall raise up. Third person, future, indicative, active. Him, accusative, singular, masculine, third person pronoun, out tone. All right? The Lord will do it. See there? That's nominative, singular, masculine. He is the subject that's doing all this. Kyrios. Kyrios. What is the equivalent to Kyrios in Hebrew?
Adonai.
Adonai. Or sometimes Jehovah. Alright. Adonai and Jehovah, are they the same person? They sure are. Isn't that beautiful book, the way he brought out the creation, J. Lewis Guthrie, and the creation of the heavens and the earth? How that Jesus, what part He took in it? The blueprints of it. The pattern. And if, Kai, and if, sins, all right, Kai, that con there comes from Kai and on. It comes from Kai as a conjunction. You can look that one up on page 208. And this little alpha nu, A-N, which is a third-class conditional, undetermined but with prospect of termination. All right? Harmartias. What does the word harmartias mean? Harmartias. What does it mean? I've drilled this across to you so many times. What does the word harmartias mean? It doesn't mean to miss the mark, does it? That's what people think it is, but that's a bad translation of it.
Muddy the waters?
It means to go out of bounds, to trespass, or trespasses. Now, can a child of God trespass against God and sin?
Yeah.
Oh, well. What happens to you? Do you get thrown in hell if you're a child of God? Does God throw you in hell?
Forgiveness.
He forgives you. No, you're once you're saved, that's period. That's peculiar action. It is perfect participle, actually. Ye are having been saved through faith, Ephesians 2 and 8. Ye are having been saved through faith, and that faith didn't come from you either. That came from God. It's a gift of God. All right. We're saved. But what happens to a child of God that is absolutely a miserable, wavered child? What happens to it sometimes?
God spanks him up straight.
God spanks him up straight. How can he spank you up straight, bud?
Many ways.
Many ways. Yeah. Does spankings hurt?
Yeah. Absolutely. He can make you sick.
Yeah, that's right.
He can take away your loved ones. He can...
What is this word here? I wrote it out in Greek now. Here.
See if you can read that.
Hamartiagenic.
Hamartiagenic.
Okay, that's the Greek word. In English, it's harmartiogenic. I wrote it better in Greek than I did in English. You can't even read it in English. Harmartiogenic. Harmartiogenic means sin caused. Sin causes sickness, and it can cause death sometimes. Now let's go look and see some of the verses. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:21. Let's look at it. We have to do this because this is very important. This is a doctrine that is not even discussed sometimes. Looked over.
1:21.
Uh-huh.
All right. Now we read, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe."
All right. Now, by prayers and by preaching, people are saved spiritually, aren't they? So there, this word sozo, that's where it comes from, okay? That's that word. We, by prayers and by intercession and by preaching, people are saved spiritually. All right? All right, now, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. Let's look at this.
Back up and just say that one more time so I can...
Which one?
About sozo.
Sozo. Sozo can be used to save you physically or spiritually. Right here we have one place where you are saved spiritually. Okay, you've been born again. All right? By the preaching of the gospel. All right, that's it. Now...
What page is that on in this book, do you know?
Sozo? No, I don't have it written down, brother. I don't have my book with me.
I'll look it up later.
Okay. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. I didn't write that one down, and I can't remember it. All right, let's go on. And that's third person seeing your future indicative active. Now, 11 and verse 30.
"For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep."
All right. Now, what is it talking about here? We're talking about the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth, God had to kill some of them. God had to make some of them sick because they were so sinful. It was a mess. Let's go back and see. They were committing blasphemy in reality. Go back up to verse 28. But let everyone examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. They're talking about the Lord's Supper. Okay? Some of them had perverted the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's serious crime. Perverting the Lord's Supper. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not discern or judge the body rightly. For this reason, many of you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Now, who's it talking to? Who's speaking? Let's get into the rules of interpretation.
To the church.
He's talking to a church. All right, but who's talking?
Paul's
talking. Paul's talking to the church at Corinth. That church was so corrupt that he had to write two letters to them. And maybe these are a series of letters that are stuck together. It might have been four. I don't know how many was all together because they didn't have chapters and verses. So this may be up to four letters that Paul had to write to this church to try to get them straightened out. And he's telling them here, some of you got killed. But if we judge ourselves rightly, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by what? By the Lord, in order that we may be not be condemned with the rest of the world. So then, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. Straighten up. You don't come together to get killed by God. In verse 34, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. So you may not come together for what?
Judgment.
And he said, I got some more things I got to tell you too. So now we have here that sometimes sin causes what? Sickness. That's what we call hemartiogenic sickness and hemartiogenic illness. 1 John 5, verses 16 and 17. First John 5. See, this is going into our next book also that we're going to do. This is a cross-reference to this. Randy, you got this?
16 and 17?
Yeah.
If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death.
That's some pretty serious things, isn't it? What Romans 6:23 says?
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
That's 3:23.
Okay.
6:23. For the wages of sin is death.
But
strong adversity conjunction, the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. All right. Sin leads to death, doesn't it?
Always.
Always. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go and keep you there longer than you wanted to stay. Won't it? It will captivate you. It will control your life. It'll destroy your life. That's what sin will do for you. As a child of God and as a lost person. Now, if you're lost, you get out there and wallow in that sin. You can go on. You can do it with a conscience that doesn't bother you. Because you can sear your conscience to where the lost is not bothered by sin. And they don't want to hear about any preaching, do they?
Hardened heart.
That's what you call hard heart. Gospel hardened. I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Whether you destroy your whole life, your whole family, and everybody around you, they're going to go and do their own thing.
Well,
because they love it.
Because they love it. Or they're, maybe sometimes they don't love it so much, but they're controlled by it. You are a slave to it.
Of course, God, Jesus says, in one place, he says, I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And Maybe some of these people need to know the Lord. Maybe they just think they know the Lord.
Well, we're talking about church members here now, a lot of
them. Well, I know. Yeah. But then you can be a church member and not know the Lord, too.
Yes, you can.
But
can a child of God get caught up in sin?
Yeah, we know that.
That's right. And what does it do to you?
Makes you miserable.
It makes you miserable. Do you think a child of God can sin and be happy?
No.
I can guarantee you, if you're out there sinning and you're happy in it.
If a child of God is sinning, he's more miserable than that.
That's right. You are not going to be happy. You are not going to go out there and do what you did before. You were saved and be happy. I can guarantee you. You might try to be happy. You might be happy at one point in time, but you will not be happy. You will weight yourself down with trouble. Trouble. Trouble, trouble. What?
No, right here in Riverside. Silly.
Waiting down. Matthew 18 and verse 14. It talks about a brother that's out of whack with the church. There's a sin that's leading unto death. There's a sin that doesn't lead unto death. One time I dealt with a man. I baptized him. And I saw him just absolutely miserable. His wife left him. He wanted to serve the Lord, but he said he couldn't do it without her. And his life was just tore up. He went off and got married again to another woman. She was just a hellion. He wanted to serve the Lord. But he was all tore up. Finally got killed. The day that I knew that I heard about that he got killed, I knew what happened.
God took him home.
God took him home. We would never even know that Lot was saved, would we, if the New Testament didn't say it. He vexed his righteous soul. Didn't he vexed his righteous soul. Can we do that to ourselves? Can we vex our righteous souls?
Oh, yes.
Our souls. Now remember, when you're born again, man's triune, just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One thing I like about J. Lewis Guthrie, he puts it very plain in the Old Testament. It says Spirit God. It didn't say the Spirit of God. It says Spirit God. And there's a whole lot of difference between Spirit God and Spirit of God, because Spirit God is God. Spirit of God could be a Spirit of God. But Spirit God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, God is Father, Son, and Spirit. All right? And man is mind and soul, and we have body and spirit. This is beautiful. I've done, how many times have you seen me do this, brother?
Dozens.
Dozens of times. You know why I do this? Because this is important for us to understand. That's why. Wish I had a blackboard every time I preach. You need
John
a blackboard.
John thought it was important.
Huh?
John thought it was
important. Yeah, he was real. Thought it was real important. We are triune in nature. Mind, soul. Do you have a soul?
Yes.
Well, you have a soul?
Sure.
That's where you think. That's where you live, is in your soul.
Yeah.
That's where you sleep. And you know yourself more better than anybody else, don't you?
Yep.
That's right. How about, do you have a body?
Yep.
Anybody here deny that one? Mama? How's your body? How's your bones? You know, Indians say to each other, say, how's your bones?
Well, that's where the strength is.
How's your bones? Body. I can guarantee you, there's time in our lives when we're young. Isn't it nice to be young? We're usually young and our youth is wasted on young.
Amen.
It's wasted on it. Because you don't realize, when you're young, you don't realize how good you feel.
Yeah. Much you can lift and do.
Yeah, boy, it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
You get out there and just do whatever you want to. run up and down a mountain. Now when I go huffing across my place, my heart hurts.
My young pup of a son wants to wrestle with me all the time, and I just don't feel like it anymore.
Old grandpa.
Yeah, I feel that way a little bit.
Body. We are burdened with our bodies, but when we're young, our body's usually in pretty good shape. There are some people that aren't. I know one of my teachers, I have so much respect for him. I was last several mornings I've listened to him preach, and that's one you have on there about Huiothesia. All right? I wrote it in Greek because I didn't know how to write it in English. Anyway, Brother Carl Farrar, he was about this tall. When he was 5 years old, he got multiple sclerosis or something like that. Anyway, he was crippled. His feet all twisted up, everything else. Hadn't run, hadn't walked since he was 5 years old. That man lived up in his 80s, I guess. He was pretty old when he died, wasn't he? You know what he did with his life? He could have sat back and mourned and everything, and just bawled and squalled. Well, when they introduced him up there, they said, this is Brother Farrar. Farrar is what they call him. He said he ought to be an example to all of us. That little fellow was a mind that is beyond anything that I've ever known. I never knew a man. I'm not educated like he was. Some people think I've studied all my life. But that man, whew, he knew everything. He studied and he read everything that you can think of. And boy, when he got up and preached, you knew it too. You knew he was educated. He'd tell you everything under the sun. Had read every discipline that you can think of. He was teasing me about my snowbird suit. I got a white striped suit I wear every now and then in springtime usually. He said, I looked up at Brother Phillips today and I said, are you ready for the rapture, brother? The saints are all dressed in white. Then they said I was going to preach. He said, boy, you're dressed up so pretty, we're going to have you preach. Because you wore that suit. Brother Farr was a great example to everybody. Because he persevered and he preached. That's his whole life. Was going there and preaching to those boys and giving them something to tell you out in the churches. That's what he lived for. I remember the first week I was there, he looked at me. We had 3 or 4 days down there. And he said, Brother Jim, he said, I want you to take my class in case I get sick. And boy, he was terrible shape. You never saw anybody cut up so many times in your life. He called me on the phone. He said, Brother Jim, he said, can you take my classes tomorrow? I'm in the hospital. He said, I felt something on my side. It's my guts coming out. His side just burst open. Terrible shape. But he was back there the next week. They patched him up, sewed him back up, and he's back in the classroom. Told you about Martin Canavan having a heart attack, one heart attack after the other. He'd get out of intensive care, get somebody to drive him to the school. He'd sit down in his class and start preaching. You know why? Had something to say. He was investing in the future of preachers. Now, I may not last much longer, so you guys are supposed to remember what I'm saying to you today, okay? All these things, you got to carry it on. You're supposed to make Timothy's. We are supposed to make those that can carry on what we understand. I was talking here at church last night to Brother Keith Blanton. He says, are you got any Timothys in your class? I said, boy, I got a whole class full of them. I'm just a grooming this one and a grooming that one and a grooming this one. He said, we gotta pass on what we know so that we can leave it behind. We do. Well, we got down to sin and sickness. James 5 and verse 15. Sometimes sin kills you, doesn't it? All right. And if sins he may, having done, look at that word hey there. See that little word there? See that yield a subscript underneath it? That means it's in the subjunctive note. It's third person singular present, subjunctive active. That comes from Amy. All right? Amy. And where you have that con up there, see that Chi Alpha Nu, because it's a contraction of chi and on. That's how you figure that's the third class conditional, because down here you've got a verb in the subjunctive mode. And I've told you so many times, every mode, tense, and voice in Greek is inspired. All the way. The Word of God is inspired. James 5 and verse 15. And it shall be forgiven him. Atheitheisteta. All right, third person singular future, indicative passive. Who forgives your sins?
The Lord.
The Lord does. That's passive voice. Future tense, it's going to happen. If we pray, if we ask God to forgive us, we are going to be forgiven. And look at the word forgiven there. Do you see the root word, the root part of it down there at the bottom? Aphihime. It comes from apo and histomi. Apo means what? That's a preposition. Remember? Apo. That means away from. To stand away or to send away your sins are sent away. How far does God send our sins away from Him?
As far as the east is from the west.
As far as the east is from the west. All right. Shall be forgiven him. All right. There is no sorrow like sin produces. Whatever it causes you to sin will also cause much sorrow. Yes, brother.
One old fellow says, I can forgive, but I can't forget.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know that we can forget all the time. You've done something and you
think
about it, and you go ahead and repent about it, but it's still there.
When you go by something that reminds you of it, what do? You mourn over it, don't you?
Well, yeah.
You're supposed to mourn over your sins. We used to have mourner's benches in churches. Remember them?
No.
You don't remember them mourner's benches?
Didn't have
no mourner's benches.
Just had pews.
Yeah. Go down there and pray and beg God to forgive you. As children of God, we need to pray for God to forgive us.
Back in Russia, there was an old man named Klaus Reimer. He was a preacher of a congregation over there. Mm-hmm. And he says, when you repent, you've got to suffer. And one of the guys laid out in the bank of snow all night and actually killed him.
Killed him,
because
suffered.
He was trying to repent.
He had an
overworked sense of repentance.
Well, I guarantee you one thing. Your sin's going to make you suffer.
But
regardless.
This was, of course, getting into the...
That sounds like Catholicism there.
Well, yeah.
Do we have to beg for forgiveness or beg for mercy?
We have forgiveness. Yeah. As
we
a
have
child
forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We have to beg for mercy.
Yeah. Mercy. Our sins can cause us sickness and cause us illness and cause us death at times. That's what that verse said. Now I'll go to verse 16. Ex homo logeste. Ex homo logeste. Un. Alleluis. Alleluis.
Alleluis.
Tos. Hamartios.
Kai.
Eucheste. Hiper. Allelon.
Allelon.
Hippos.
Hippos.
Iathete.
Iathete.
Poli.
Poli.
Isque.
Isque.
Dacius.
Dacius.
Dikaiu.
Dikaiu.
Energomene.
Energomene.
Let's look at this one now. See, I'm going to have plenty of time to look at it first. We may get through this one. Matthew 3:16. Or Matthew 3:6, that is. Mark 1:5. Acts 19:18. Hebrews 12:13. 1 Peter 2:24. Genesis 18:23 and 32. And John 9:31. These are all cross references to this verse. Remember, no verse in the Bible is an island. It doesn't set by itself. It's always confirmed by some other place in the Bible. Ye confess out openly. That's what it says. Ex homologia. Let's look at this word. Ek is what? What's that sign up there on the wall say? Above that door.
Ekit.
That means out of it. It would be actually, we call it exit, but it's ekit. Means out of it. Now here we have is out. And then homo logeste. It is second person plural, present imperative middle. Okay? So it means out. And then homo. All right? What's a homosexual?
Man. Same sex.
Same sex.
They're making love to people in the same sex, aren't they? All right? So that's homo.
Same.
And then loge. Loge. Or lego. What's lego? Lego.
Lego is...
I speak. I or say. All right? Now, what's this saying here? When we confess, what are we doing?
Lego. Telling God that we're sorry for our sins.
We're telling the truth. We're saying the same thing that God already knows.
That's another way of saying is we're agreeing with God, but we
that's
we're
right.
Wrong.
Agreeing with God that we are wrong. That's exactly what you're doing. Agreeing with God that you are wrong. That's what confession is. That's kind of neat, isn't it? Many of us try to hide our sins. Many of us tell God, oh, this is not sin. We argue with God, don't we? But what we need to do is say the same thing. We need to agree with God that we are sinners. You know what? You can't get people saved until you get them lost. Did you know that? You can't get anybody saved until you get them lost. Why? Think you can save a righteous man? Huh?
No.
You have to know they're sinful.
His strength is knowing his weakness.
What?
His strength is knowing his weakness.
I couldn't hear you.
His strength is knowing his weakness.
Well, a righteous man thinks he's okay.
So when people go through struggle, though, you find out your weaknesses.
Yeah. But a righteous man thinks he's okay. He thinks he's strong. You want to get in the strength business. He thinks he's strong. He thinks he's okay. What happened to the Pharisee that stood up there on the road and was saying to God, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like these other people. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like everybody else. Was he saved?
No.
Was he religious?
Yes.
He was religious. Very religious. A Pharisee was the most strict sect, the most right-wing orthodox sect of the Jews. He is a representative of the epitome of the Jewish religion. But he was lost because he was self-righteous. So what you got to do is get somebody that's self-righteous. Brother Cannon was telling a story one time of a man that he didn't like church members. Because they were sinners. They were terrible. I'm better than they are. Better than they are. I don't do what things they do. He'd tell Brother Cannon every time he'd go try to... His wife come to church and he left up there in Corkin, I think, where he was pastoring at that time. And he had a radio program out there and everything. And this guy sat out there and listened to him on the radio, but he wouldn't go to church. And Brother Cannon went to his house and dealt with him several different times. He'd just tell him how bad the church members were. How good he was. I don't do the things they do. I'm a good man. I'm a good father. Good husband. Got out there and was out there in his pickup dragging a drag out there on his lot. And he'd go out there and he'd listen to the radio. That's what he was doing out there. Listen to Brother Cannon preach on the radio. And he'd go out there and just drag and drag. And his wife looked out. He says, there's no more weeds for him to drag. They're all gone. He's dragging the lot to pieces out there. All the dust stirred up and everything, it just kept going around in circles. He wouldn't go to church. Finally, he was preaching one Sunday morning. His wife was down there almost in the front row. And he hears something come up outside real loud. And somebody just busted in the door and he thought somebody was coming in to rob him or something. The front doors just flew open to that church. And he ran down there. It wasn't an invitation. He ran down there and fell on the altar and he says, God forgive me. I've been self-righteous and I have nothing. I'm a sinner. And Brother Cameron just quit preaching, got down there and led him to the Lord. After he got up, and he said, Brother Cameron, what am I supposed to do? And he said, fella, You've been telling me what you're supposed, everybody else is supposed to do. Just do what you're saying they should do. You know exactly what you're supposed to do. Well, I guess I ought to be baptized. I guess I ought to join church. I guess I ought to start tithing and again, coming to church and coming to school, Sunday school with my kids and all that kind of stuff. I said, yeah, that's right. But he was so self-righteous that he couldn't reach him. We got to say the same thing, therefore, to one another. The sins. And pray. You pray. Second person plural, present imperative active. And you pray on behalf of one another. This is in church capacity, isn't it? Who's writing this book?
James
writing the book. All right. Now, this Jacob guy, James, Jacob, that's what James means, Jacob. Okay. Who's he writing to? The Jewish Christians in synagogues. All right. So what's he telling them to do? Pray for one another. He told them last time, he said, some of you are sick. Some of you are dying, basically. Sin calls illness. Pray for them. It said, ye pray on behalf of one another so as ye may be cured. What kind of, why are they cured from? Their meanness.
Self-righteousness.
Self-righteousness. Do you think he still had trouble with them Pharisees in these churches?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They may be cured. Second person plural. First aorist, subjunctive passive. You may be. You may or you may not. What takes place in the may or the maybes in the subjunctive mode?
Volition.
Volition. What's volition, brother?
Your ability to choose.
Your ability to choose. Every one of you here tonight has ability to choose. You're either going to go the right way or the wrong way. As simple as that. The right way or the wrong way. Who will make up that? Who will make that decision? You all. Each and every one of you individually.
We may or we may not.
That's it. You may or may not. Either you will or you won't. Isn't that right? And it's all up to you, isn't it? God gives you conviction, doesn't he? And he gives you grace. But there is the volition that he will not cross over. You're not a robot.
That is the sovereignty of God.
Yeah. Amen. That's the sovereignty of man. God is sovereign, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How did God make man?
In his own image.
So that meant he meant man what?
He let man make a decision.
He made man sovereign over his soul. That's the most dangerous thing that he ever did to man, was giving the sovereignty over his soul. You can go to hell or you can go to heaven.
He could have made a bunch of puppets.
That's right.
Trouble.
Mm-hmm. Stopped all that trouble. But could God really get glory from puppets?
No.
Robots? That's impossible. Even the angels, even the spirits, had a choice, didn't they? They have volition. He didn't cross over that. Either they served him or they didn't. He may be cured much. It says, what is it? The prayer of the petition of a righteous one is much strong. It's very strong. The petition of a righteous one. Now look at that deisis. Look at that word deisis. Delta, epsilon, eta, sigma, iota, sigma. See that? That comes from Deo. Deo. Remember that old song, Deo? This is a different Deo. It is bindingly necessary. That's what that means. It says, it is bindingly necessary that we come to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Bindingly necessary. Have you ever been in steadfast prayer? What usually gets you in steadfast prayer?
Crisis.
When you have a crisis, then you start calling upon God earnestly. Mm-hmm. Bindingly. You bind your mind to God. That's what it literally means. To bind your mind, your soul, and your spirit to God. Look up here at this little triune deal again. We have mind, we have body, and we have spirit. Now the lost man has mind, body, and spirit just like the saved man, doesn't he? What's different? What's different about the saved man than the lost man?
who controls it altogether.
The spirit is still in its its rebellion.
That spirit in a lost man is dead. That's a spirit of rebellion. That's a spirit of death. That's it. When you are born again, and when they were born again, all the way from Genesis all the way forward, when they were born again, God indwelt them with His Spirit. He replaced that spirit of rebellion, and that Spirit of God goes in there. That's what identifies you and guarantees the resurrection. That's the beautiful part. That's the down payment. There haven't been 41 and a half times different ways of salvation in the Bible. There's only been one way of salvation. And every time God ever saved a person, then He put that Spirit in them.
And it's a new creation.
It's a brand new creation. It is the creative Spirit, as you read J. Lewis Guthrie's Creation of the Heavens and the Earth.
But this
that Spirit held the whole creation in solution, and Christ spoke it into existence.
But this deo, this deesis, this is conditional on this word that opens. Is it esom?
That he may be cured. And then it says...
That ye confess out openly. That's conditional on
that's
that.
That's conditional there. But now we're talking about a different thing. We're talking about the prayer of a righteous man is very effective with God. They didn't have very many righteous people in this church. They had self-righteous people in the church. They didn't have many righteous people in the church. But the righteous man has a open pathway to God, an open pathway of prayer, because the righteous man knows who his God is. Well, we've only got a few verses left in this book. Maybe we can cover them next week and finish up the book, and then we'll go to 1 John. What is the day? The 20th?
21.
Thank you for enduring those hard seats.
Brother Jim, one more comment. A good example to me of the righteous man prayer is the prayer of Abraham in behalf of Lot.
Prayer of Abraham and Elijah. All right, remember, now that's where we're going to go next week. We're going to talk about Elijah. What does Elijah mean? What does Elijah mean? This is previews of coming attractions. Elijah. What?
I should know. I can't think of it.
Elijah.
I've heard it, but I can't think of it now.
El.
God.
God. Yah. Elijah. Elijah.
God's son. No, God.
Son of God.
Huh?
Son of God.
No.
Son of
God. No. You know what Elijah means? It means God, God. God is Jehovah. That's what it means. God is Jehovah. All right. God is Jehovah. All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to send you out into the world. Go out and do something eternal this week. All right? Go out there and do something eternal. That means something for God. All right? Some righteous act. Brother David, would you dismiss us in prayer, please, brother?
Brother David, remember me in prayer because I haven't been feeling good.
Okay. Do you have any other prayer requests? Remember my mother. She's trying to figure out. And remember Paul. But remember my mother. She's trying to figure out whether she has hip replacements and stuff. And she's going through a lot of miseries with her bones. Remember Paul. He has cancer. Paul Crafton. And remember him in your prayers. Any other thing? Remember all of our prayer requests up here? Remember Pam Ellis, Katie Perney, and Leanne Knudsen?
She's doing real good.
All right, that's good. All right. Anything else? Brother David.
Dear Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to come together and to study Your Word. Lord, we just thank You for how clearly and openly Brother Jim presents what the Greek has to say about Your Word, Lord, and to clear things up for us, Father. We just thank You and for all the people that are here this evening. We pray for Sister Andino, Lord, that You will give her strength in her illness, Father. We pray for Faye that You would help the doctors determine
her problems, Lord. We just also lift up Sister Perny and Sister Knutson and their illnesses, Lord. We just thank you and praise you for the healing that you give us. Mm-hmm. Father, we just especially pray for our children who are lost and rebelling against you, Lord. We just pray that you would give us words to say to them, that they would understand who you are, Father. Our hearts just grieve over them so much that they don't acknowledge you. Yeah. Lord, we just ask that you would be with us as we go in our several ways this week and give us open hearts and open minds to present the gospel to those who are lost. In your precious name, amen.
Yeah.